Hey, everyone, and welcome to the New Visionary Podcast, a podcast for artists who are ready to reach greater heights in their art careers. I'm your host, Victoria J. Fry, founder of Visionary Art Collective and New Visionary Magazine. Join me for inspiring conversations with some of the most inspirational visionaries in today's art world. Let's jump in. Welcome back, beautiful. In today's episode, we are chatting with Yael Yan, a San Diego-based Mexican painter, exploring the relationship between color and emotion. Yael, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
It's been a long time coming. I was just thinking before we started recording that we met in person for the first time almost a year ago. How crazy is that?
I know. After a long time of being part of the VAC membership or book club and all that stuff.
So many things. I mean, yeah, we had connected online well before we met in person. And then meeting you and your husband at the Art Expo, I think it was last April, I want to say. It was around that time. It was last spring. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was just so surreal to actually like meet you and walk around with you. We saw some amazing artwork by so many talented artists. It was such a great day. And we've actually had the pleasure of meeting multiple times since then and having dinner together and all that good stuff. But I wanted to start by just asking you, like, since we met, how has the last year gone for you in your studio practice, in your work as an artist? Tell us all the things.
Yeah, I think last year was wild. But the second part of the year, I joined the Gentoff Collective. So I had the opportunity to show with her in San Diego and in Miami. But at the same time, I was chosen by Redwood Art Group to show in San Diego as part of the local artist. And that was wild because I had the opportunity to teach at a school that teaches homeless kids. And that was amazing. And then I had the opportunity to show in Art San Diego. And I'm doing it this year again in November.
Oh my gosh. I know that Art San Diego was a huge moment for you as an artist and just in your art career. And I remember when you were gearing up for it. And then after it happened, you had so many great things to say. And just it sounds like it was such a positive experience for you. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. So for that show, I created new paintings from my collection. My canvas is my playground. It's a collection of abstract art with a lot of layers, a lot of colors. And sometimes they tell a story. Sometimes they tell me a story. Sometimes the viewer finds other stories. So I love that collection because I think it's very interactive. So I met a lot of people. I made great relationships. It was amazing. And it was really because I was chosen as a local talent. So that was great.
It's so exciting. I mean, you were like hand plucked to be part of it. Yeah. And I'm not surprised because your work is incredible. I also hear a lot artists who participate in fairs and expos and that sort of thing, like, the community is such a big part of it, getting to meet fellow artists and just that sense of camaraderie. And it sounds like that was also something that was, you know, as you mentioned, like really impactful for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I made a lot of friends, artist friends and people that are art collectors and art viewers.
It's so important because, you know, we always talk about how we're in the studio alone so much of the time. So when you have the opportunity to go out and connect with people, it's really special. I also think, especially in this post-pandemic reality, it's more meaningful and more important now than ever before. So I love that. And you're doing it again this year.
Yes, but this year I'm paying. But that's okay. It's part of the investment. I know, I think art is an investment. You need to invest in your art career because it's your business or my business.
Yeah, so, totally.
Yeah. And mention that you said that art can be really solitary, but I'm really lucky that I share my studio with other people.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that because you are in a great situation where is it four other artists? There's five of you or there's six?
The name of the studio is Five Art, but we're six artists.
Five art, six artists. Yes. Okay. Making a mental note. But did it start as five and then it shifted into six?
Yeah.
Okay. But it's like hard to rebrand, right? So like keeping the name makes sense.
Yeah. And what I like to say is that we're artists and we're really bad with numbers. At least I am.
I love that. I mean, math is not always my strongest suit. It's a sincere effort to, you know, do the math. But I'm so proud of you. I think it's really cool that you like get to paint alongside other artists as part of Five Art. And I know that as a group, tell me, I'm trying to remember, but I feel like you've like as a group, you've had shows and applied to things together. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, we have a show every year at the end of the year. This year, we're switching gears and we are having solo shows for ourselves, artists in the studio, and we are bringing people, other artists, once a month, every other month. It's one of us, and every other month is the other artist that comes from outside. So that's really cool to have, to give them the opportunity to show somewhere else.
It's such a valuable opportunity. I love that you're doing that. It's like you're amplifying your own work by having these solo, like each of you having a solo show, but then bringing in other artists who are outside of your group and giving them the chance as well is like really meaningful and really valuable. And I love that you're doing that. And I also just think it's so, you know, we talk so much about community and how community, you can be like part of a big community or you can be part of a small community with, you know, in your case, five other artists, but that's like a tight knit group. That's a network. That's a great support system. In what ways would you say your practice has changed since you joined up with Five Art? Like, have you noticed a difference in your own work or just like, how has that been for you?
Difference in my own work for sure, but I don't think it's because I've been with them. It's funny because when we started, the first time we hanged all our paintings together and like we curated them by colors, but it was so confusing for the viewer because our art was very similar. Now we have our own wall and it looks so different, but it blends together very well. We each one have our own style, our own color palette, but it's like having critique on demand. Like, I don't know what to do with this painting.
Yes.
And, yeah.
I love the way that you put it, critique on demand. That's the beautiful thing about working alongside other artists is you can just casually get feedback or ask like, you know, do you think this is working? Or I always share like that is one of the most valuable things when, or parts, I guess, of working in a community or just having a studio space with other artists because you can get other perspectives. And I think those other perspectives can be so helpful.
Yeah, definitely. And now that we're hanging our solo show every month, or my turn is in May 11th. And but we have had two shows from the people in the from the artist in the group, and we help each other and we do it between the six of us. So that's really valuable because it's climbing stairs, hanging, moving, measuring, and sometimes you don't see things that other people see. So switch this painting to that side because the colors go better. So it's a lot of camaraderie. And it's huge and it's amazing.
I love that so much. You have found your community and it's a really special thing. And it's something I encourage every artist to do. You've got to be, we cannot be creating in a vacuum. So I think that was just such a great decision on your part. Like you found your people, you found your tribe and and I'm sure it's really helpful for them as well. And you all have each other.
And we share information. We go to shows together. We share information about new shows to submissions and stuff like that.
It's super valuable. Like, artists are your best resources. Beth Pickens talks a lot about this as well. How being in community with other artists is where you're going to learn about opportunities and things that are happening in the art world. Like, got to stick together. So I think it's really cool. Okay, I want to ask, there's so many questions I want to ask you, but I really want to dive into your work. We've learned a little bit about your studio setup and, you know, again, very excited for you to participate in Art San Diego. So more details to come.
Thank you.
But yes. One thing that is so cool about your work is that you have two very distinct styles, and each of them are, I think, equally as meaningful, like equally meaningful to you. And you have your chairs and you also have your abstracts. So can you tell us, like, you know, you do these beautiful, very realistic portraits of chairs. And then you also have these really layered, vibrant, colorful, abstract paintings. And they both require very different, like, not even just skill sets, but like, I mean, you're
mindset.
Working, mindset. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what is the word? Because you're working totally different parts of your brain for each. Can you tell us, like, how, just, yeah, all the things.
Yeah, well, I started doing art here in San Diego by drawing, and then I switched to pastels and a little bit of oil paint. And then my teacher decided to move back to TJ, so I was like homeless in a way of classes. So I went on looking for classes, and the only class that I got that matched my schedule was printmaking. And in printmaking, I started drawing chairs or etching chairs. So that's how I started doing that, because my teacher was into cable, light cables and buildings. And I was like, no, that doesn't speak to me. So I started to do prints of chairs because I had a chair collection, and the chairs was part of my personality in that time, because I was collecting chairs and people will bring me chairs from all over the world, small chairs. No big chairs. And then I switched to oils and eventually to acrylics. But with oils, I started painting chairs. And at one moment, the painting chairs clicked something on me that I started to look at chairs as I look at people. Like, they have personalities and attitude, different lives, I can say. So I do love painting my chairs. People call me the chair lady. I secretly enjoy that. Not so secretly. And yeah, those are very realistic. And to paint realistic, you have to go into a really, like, a trance mindset. Like, I don't focus on what I'm painting. I'm focused on the colors or the shapes or the negative spaces that I'm painting. For my acrylics, I paint more, it's more of a visceral mindset. So I paint without thinking what I'm painting. I'm just like how the colors blend together, one on top of each other, or how they look together. So it's more like throwing colors at the canvas. And eventually, from those colors and layers, I can find a story, or I just enjoy the composition of the painting. So it's two different languages. It's like, for me, speaking English and Spanish, it's completely different, but it's the same. They both come from me. I don't know if I'm being clear.
No, you are. I totally get it. And I feel like it sounds like, and you tell me, that your abstracts are maybe more process driven, in the sense that you are like, there's a lot more room for like you said, the story to emerge, and you kind of work back and forth between layers, and you kind of like, I don't know, would you say it's a little bit more intuitively guided than your chair series in the sense that you're just kind of flowing with it?
Yeah, for sure. Because when I paint my chairs, I follow a photograph that I took myself, or a photo that some of my kids took for me, because I get a lot of photos of chairs. And I take a lot of photos of chairs when I travel, or when I walk on the streets or whatever. I have a crush on chairs. I take photos of chairs. When I watch movies or TV, I'm literally looking at the chairs.
Well, so that brings me to my question. What is it about chairs?
Yeah, it started as an accident, I will say. Like, I was collecting small chairs. And then I was like fixating on chairs, like, because I see them, I see the story of the chair, I see the people that have sat in the chair, or I don't know, I think like they absorb a lot of energy from people and their environment. So I like to look at chairs like I look at people. Like, I see the personalities, I try to bring their story into my painting.
I think that's so beautiful.
And it's funny when people that know my art look at it and say, oh yeah, I look at your chair and it looks like a man on a suit, for example.
I love that. Well, and also sometimes you're drawn to something and you don't always know, you just feel it. Like, I could say, I don't know, when I'm thinking about what I paint, right? I don't always know. I just know that what I'm painting feels right. I feel a connection, and it's beyond what you can even really articulate in words. It's like this deep knowing, this deep connection to the subject matter, and like this, you just know that that's what you should be painting, or that's what feels right to paint, I should say. And it's really cool that you found that. And in your chairs totally do serve as portraits. When you said that they have different personalities, like, I'm looking, so this is, you know, audio only, this podcast, but for our listeners, I will share that I'm looking, as I'm recording this with Yael, I can see her chair paintings behind her, and they truly do all have different personalities. And there's like a different mood in every painting. You know, some of them feel like they're coupled up together. Some of them feel like, I don't know, like maybe a little bit lonely. And then I'm looking at one that looks like it's maybe happy to be on its own. It's beautiful how you're able to communicate that those moods and those emotions through the work.
Thank you. Yeah, one time a friend told me, oh, your chairs are so solitary. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, they're full of life.
It's beautiful. So you've been working on your chair series for about how long?
Probably for 10 years or more now.
Wow.
I have a big collection of chairs. Mm-hmm.
And when did the abstract start?
The abstract, I started painting abstract in 2018, a long time, but I was struggling a lot to get into abstract because it's really hard. It's really hard for me to paint. It was really hard for me to paint abstract. Now it's easy, but it was a different mindset. It's like, it was, again, like learning to speak English for me. It's another language. Remember that Spanish is my first language.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it's totally different. You, on one hand, are, you know, you paint these very representational, realistic, highly realistic paintings of chairs. And then your abstracts are so loose and they're all about color and brushstroke and movement. And shape and like, yeah, and layering. And when did you reach a point when you were working on the abstracts where it just clicked for you and you felt more at ease? Did it just come from practice?
At first, I was doing my abstract work and it was like the background. I created a background for a chair. So the background represented the situation that the chair was living in. And I was painting a lot of duet chairs, like in love chairs. They look like very coupled, married or flirting chairs. So, and after a while, I was like, okay, I'm going to try to do an abstract with that chair. And that's when, let me think. After that, I was like just painting abstract, purely abstract. And then I was painting a series of flowers. That's when my dad passed, and the flowers brought me so much peace. And after that, I took a workshop and started to paint more. From that, I went further with my abstract and layering and shape and making shapes. And
amazing. How has it been for you exhibiting and sort of marketing, so to speak, both series, both collections alongside each other? Have you felt at any point like that's been a challenge? Have you found a way to do it sort of effortlessly? Just tell us about that journey. A lot of artists we have on the podcast work across different, well, I can't even generalize because we've had so many different artists on the podcast, but we've had some artists who just have one body of work. We have also interviewed like multidisciplinary artists and those working across different mediums or genres. But yeah, how has it been for you, like working on these two very different collections simultaneously and sort of sharing both of them with the world?
I think it's hard for people to see those completely different styles. It's like two different artists making that the paintings. So that's hard because either people tell me when I was not painting many chairs, they will say, "Oh, I miss your chairs. I love your chairs." Now they like both, I think, but it's hard. It's like two different personalities. And when I was doing etchings, it was like three different personalities.
Well, they're so
narrowed it down to two, but it's hard.
Yeah, and I appreciate you sharing that. I mean, I imagine that it has its challenges, but at the same time, I think it's really cool and really admirable that you have allowed yourself the permission to do both, because I don't think we should ever restrict ourselves as artists. You know, like I think there's something to be said for, you know, building a cohesive series of work when you're building your art career and starting to put yourself out there. But at the same time, like we have to remember that we're artists at the end of the day. And if there are two different styles or two different, I don't know, just different things that you're interested in painting, mm-hmm. You shouldn't limit yourself, because if you do, it's a disservice to your own creativity, you know? And I feel like you also, just getting to know you over the past year, have found ways to like, you've found opportunities for your abstract work, and then you've also found opportunities to show your chair. So would you say, or your chair series, I mean, so would you say it's just a matter of being selective and intentional with like how you go about presenting the work and finding the right opportunities for each series, for both series?
Yeah, definitely. When I submit to shows, I read carefully the perspectives. And so I choose to either show my chairs or either show my abstract. I never submit both at the same show because it's very confusing for the curator, especially when they don't know my work. It's like, who are you? Like, do you paint abstract? Because when you submit to a show, you submit with two or three pieces. So you have to submit a very cohesive body of work. So yeah. I either choose to submit my chairs or my abstract individually.
That makes sense. And that's the advice I always give artists as well, is like, if you are working in different styles, just choose what you're going to lead with for each opportunity. Because yeah, and I think that's great advice, because at the end of the day, the curator, the juror, whoever's reviewing your submission, they want to get a sense of your voice. And I feel like you kind of select which series you're going to lead with depending on, you know, that the theme of that show and what you feel connects more, whether it's your chair series or your abstract. So I think that's a great approach. And yeah, I mean, I just think it's really cool to see both of these series growing and developing. And it sounds like, I mean, you tell me, but it sounds like you kind of need both to feel fulfilled, or you need to be doing both to feel creatively fulfilled. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a different mindset, a different way of painting, a different, it feels different. And I'm really lucky to have my studio at home. Also, I have two studios, one at home and one in Liberty Station here in San Diego. And I mostly paint oils from home. So it's my chairs that I paint at home. And that time, it's very solitary, like you said before, because it's my studio at home and I don't share it with anyone. So I'm very focused on my chairs when I paint here, especially with oils. You need a longer time session to paint because I'm painting with oils. And with acrylics, you can just make a stroke and go back and forth. And like, you don't need to sit for a long time when you're doing acrylics as when you do with oils.
Totally, totally.
Yeah. And for the first time, my solo show, I'm going to show my chairs all together for the first time.
Oh my God.
And I'm bringing chairs that I have painted from, I think the oldest one is from 2017.
Wow. That's amazing. Like to see them all together is a really special moment and something to be celebrated. And yeah, May 11th. I mean, I will include all of the details in the show notes. So if anyone is listening and you're in San Diego, definitely stop by. But I think that's so cool. It's like a really nice culmination of all this work you've been doing over the past, gosh, 2017, that's like 7 years, right? 7 years of work. So crazy. Yeah. What would you say, like another question I had for you, as you've been building your art career and growing it and developing these collections, what would you say has been, I don't know, just any valuable lessons that you've learned along the way that you feel were important or like meaningful learning experiences for you?
Don't try to accommodate to anyone. Paint what you want to paint. Paint what you feel like painting and bring your feelings with it. Don't try to pursue nobody.
Yeah.
Or to please anyone. Like I was painting I paint with a lot of pink, for example. And people will tell me, oh, maybe you're not selling your work because you paint pink and people don't like pink. And I said, who cares? I like pink. If it sells, it sells. But for me, painting, if I don't like what I'm painting, I don't feel like painting. So I'd rather be painting what I want to paint, not trying to please someone.
Such good advice. It's like you've got to make the art for yourself first. It's so important. And I'm always reminding myself of that. And it's funny because as you were sharing that, I mean, you know, for me, like almost all of my paintings are in shades of blue. I pretty much only paint in blue. And people are like, I've gotten comments like, oh, you're in your blue period. I'm like, no, this is just like how, this is just my work. It's not like a phase. I mean, who knows? Maybe it is a phase. I don't know. But I know that it feels right. And also there are so many artists who I was even thinking when you said painting in pink, like my amazing assistant, Emma Hapner, she only paints in shades of pink. I'll have to send you her info, Yael, if you're not familiar with her, because her paintings are gorgeous, but she only paints with pink. So it's like you have to, you know, when you're drawn to a particular color or subject matter or style or genre and you feel that connection, you've just got to go with it. Like it's, you've got to make, as you're saying, like to your point, you've got to make the art that feels good for you. And I love that you stayed true to yourself through that process.
Otherwise, you stop being artistic. We're just producing like for mass production.
Yeah. You've got to just, like you're saying, make the work that feels true. And I love what you said about if it resonates with someone and they want to buy it, then they will. But that's not why you're making the work. That's just sort of like an added bonus. Mm-hmm. And sales are great, but yeah.
Yeah, I've been studying different artists and different stories. And like, okay, I know it's very common, but Van Gogh didn't sell one painting in whole his life. Like, so, but he was really, I don't know if he was really happy, but I'm really happy creating the art that I like to create.
It's you're painting for yourself and you're painting to feel joy and to process emotions. That's actually something I wanted to ask you about, because when you were telling me about your abstracts a while ago, you were talking about how it's really been a place for you to process emotions. Like, I think, mm-hmm. would you say more so with your abstracts than anything else?
Yeah, for sure.
Can you tell us a little bit about what that process is like and how your abstracts kind of give you that opportunity?
Yeah, sometimes I don't even know what I'm feeling. And when I paint it, it's like, oh my God, I was so sad that moment. Oh my God, I was so happy at that moment. Now but I don't realize until I'm painting it. And I bring all my feelings to the surface. So that's like therapy sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It's like you're creating space for yourself to think through, not even think through, but like to feel through the emotions and allow them to come out. It's like a safe space where... Yeah, because one thing you were talking about, and I'm like remembering it more clearly now as I think on it, I think you were saying like when you make your abstracts, you allow the feelings to emerge and they actually, like you can see them on the canvas emerging through the layers, which I thought was so beautiful.
Yeah, it's interesting. And because I layer so much, sometimes my sad feelings fade and they're just buried under layers of paint. And yeah. Usually I finish my paintings with a happy note. Mm-hmm. So sad when you see my paintings, feel happy. And that's what I'm trying to bring to the world, happiness with my paintings, because I think also they're full of life and full of colors. I want to make people happy. There is so much sadness in this world and so much bad that I want to bring that happiness and... hope to the world with my paintings.
I love that. I remember you sharing that that was your mission when, you know, we were talking like months ago and you were telling me that's your main objective is to spread joy through your work and to uplift others through your art, which is like so powerful. And you do. I mean, when I look at your work, whether it's your chairs or your abstracts, which are so vibrant and just bursting with life, like you can't help but feel happy and joyful and just all the good things. So yeah, I appreciate that. And I admire that. And gosh, I'm like, what am I trying to say? All of my paintings are blue and like many of them are quite sad, but no. I think either way, you know, whatever you're painting, if you're creating from a deep place, if you're pulling from a really authentic place, then there's going to be people who resonate with your work. And there will always be people who don't resonate with your work. But we can't control that. We can only control like what the energy that we're putting into each piece and our intention. And you have this beautiful intention of, yeah, just like spreading hope and joy and uplifting others. And I love that. And actually, I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned color, and I feel like I have to talk to you about this during our conversation today, because I know that color is such a big part of your work. And I think it's probably like the one thing that, or not the only thing, but one of the things that tie together your abstracts and your chairs. They both have this like really vibrant color palette. Well, can you tell us a little bit about your journey with color?
Yeah. I grew up in Mexico City, and Mexico City, it's full of colors. And everywhere you go, markets are full of color. All the ethnic artwork is full of color. So I grew up with color and that's who I am. And I like how colors react differently when they're against each other. Sometimes they look really bad. Sometimes they look so pretty, and the heart, I'm trying to do to bring them together with harmony.
I love that. I also remember you telling me about your growing up in Mexico City and just how influential like that experience was, being surrounded by such rich, vibrant colors from an early age. And I know that's something you also share in your statement. And yeah, it's a beautiful thing that, you know, it resonates with you, and you do just have, I think, a very intuitive approach to using color as well, I've noticed. Like, I mean, I don't know if it's different for your chairs, but with your abstracts, it almost feels like you just kind of effortlessly pull colors that are feeling like right at that moment. And I don't know, I'll let you talk more about your process, but yeah.
Yeah, like I really like to combine my colors, and I really like to mix colors to bring a color to life. I need to do that more because I was mixing a lot of colors. Now I buy a lot of different color tubes, but I need to narrow down to the basics and start creating my own colors. The colors that I use for my acrylic paintings, the abstract, I do mix them together myself to make pastel colors, but I really like pastel colors at this moment.
Beautiful. And it changes, right? Like it ebbs and flows and shifts. And I think that's the beauty of just approaching your work kind of intuitively and noticing what colors you're gravitating towards at that moment and then just pulling them into your piece. Amazing. Well, Yael, can you tell us a little bit about your like details for your upcoming show on May 11th, and also just anything you're working on right now in the studio?
Absolutely. So my solo show, as I mentioned, I'm going to be showing only my chairs, my oil painting chairs, because I painted with acrylic also, but the oil paint chairs, it takes me a while to paint them because it's layers of oils and you have to let the oil dry. So I'm going to be showing all my chairs, and they're about between, I don't know, 15 and 18, I think. And I'm creating small paintings too in oil in a very loose way or looser way, more like fast painting. And for the first time in my life, I'm going to be selling reproductions, like prints of my chairs in a smaller scale.
Amazing. That's very exciting. Oh my gosh. I'm just so excited to see. I mean, obviously I won't be there to make it in person, but I can't wait to see photos of all of your chairs together in one space. I'm sure it's going to be absolutely beautiful. And yeah, I mean, we'll be sure to share all of the info and details in the show notes, like I mentioned earlier. And for anyone listening, if you're in San Diego, definitely go. You don't want to miss it. Amazing. Before we wrap up, are there any final words, any key takeaways? Like, I mean, you shared such a great point about how, you know, we've got to make art for ourselves as artists. I feel like it's a responsibility to make the work that we love and that resonates. Are there any other valuable lessons that you want to share today?
Yeah, paint with people that you like to paint with.
Yes.
There is no competition in art. That's a key point. Like, don't try to compete. Don't try to be someone else. Be yourself. Do what you want to do, make your art, and be happy.
Yeah, simple but very powerful advice. Like, you've got to stay true to yourself. I think that's what this all comes down to. And finding a community that you connect with, which you've done. And yes, 100% agree with you. There's no competition in art. It's community over competition always. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked a lot about this on the podcast as well. When someone else, a fellow artist, you know, a creative that you, a fellow painter, let's say that you admire, land a solo show or get into a gallery, get represented by a top gallery, clap for them. They're showing you that it's possible. And if it's possible for them, it's possible for you. And one thing I just love and appreciate so much about you, Yale, is that you really do embrace that. You're so supportive. You're always sharing things that resonate with you, and you're always support. Like, I see it so much on social media. You're always posting and reposting and sharing and like, you know, highlighting like people and things. And I just think you like come, your approach, you have this beautiful energy that's so genuine and like very much centered on supporting other artists. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Don't compare yourself to anyone.
Yeah.
There's a saying in Spanish that said that the sun shines for everyone. And I truly believe that.
I love that too. I was just listening to a podcast episode on this morning where the host was really driving that point home. Like, you should only compare yourself to yourself, your progress to your progress, and doing that in a way that's non-judgmental and non-critical. And yeah, I love that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Amazing. I'm so lucky to know you. You're such a gem of a person and just an amazing artist. I'm so happy that you're part of our community, and I'm beyond thrilled for you and this upcoming solo show you have, which is, by the time we release this episode, it will be just around the corner. So thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to call you my friend, because I feel like you're my friend. We have a really nice connection.
We do. We have a beautiful friendship. I'm so grateful as well. And you truly are just such a gem. I mean that. Like, you're amazing. So thank you for joining us today. And for everyone who's tuning in, thank you as always. So grateful for you as well. And we'll see you next time. Thank you for tuning in and supporting our platform. To learn more about New Visionary Magazine, head over to visionaryartcollective.com/magazine. You can order individual copies on Amazon or subscribe annually to digital issues. We also have opportunities to get featured in the magazine, so be sure to join our newsletter and follow us on Instagram. If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to leave a review on iTunes or tag us on Instagram. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.